He said, Pastor, my question is on predestination. Pastor, based on your teaching concerning predestination, you made us to understand that names of those that will be saved are written from the foundation of the world. And that anyone that is a seed of God will not die until he or she receives Christ and is baptized. According to this entire message, I understand that infant baptism is not scriptural. And if anybody dies, it means that the baby's name is not in the book of life. I was reading one book titled William Branham, A Prophet Visits South Africa. And at a certain page, they wrote how he lost his wife and his infant daughter. And I know that the child was not yet baptized before she died. But one day William Branham had a dream and saw Sharon Rose had his daughter in the paradise, which means she was saved. So my question is, can someone be a predestinated seed of God and make heaven without being baptized? If not, why did that little daughter enter heaven? I was telling some people about this predestination, that once you are saved forever, you are saved. They say this kind of message will give people license to go on committing sin. And why did the Bible say, strive to enter the kingdom of God when it was for predestinated seeds? That is his question. Praise God. The doctrine of predestination. What is predestination? Predestination is a doctrine that teaches that your destiny has been determined before you began. That is the doctrine for eternal security. Church, what is eternal security? What the doctrine teaches is, once you are saved, forever you are saved. Pastor, you mean if I am saved, then I backslid, then I go back to the world. Now in that condition, you mean, and I die in that condition, will I still be saved? The question is, were you actually saved? Were you saved? Some people think they are saved when they are really not saved, because not too many people know the meaning of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How do you get born again? How do you become a member of the family of Christ and God becomes your father and you become his son or his child, his daughter? He says that he gives us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. He said, as many as receive him, John chapter 1, to them gave him power to do what? To become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, just for the purpose of explaining this, I always explain it this way. When you are a Christian, it means you are part of the family of God. And it is, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, but by one spirit are you baptized into Christ. Now, by one spirit you are baptized into the body of Christ. Now, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, you become Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 or so, he said, if one does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You are born again because the spirit of Christ comes to live inside of you. You become born again by the spirit of God. He baptizes you into the body. And you become part of an heavenly family. Now, let me use the illustration again. Amen. Who will I use now? Brother, stand up. You also believe that you can lose your salvation. That's what they taught you now.
The Bible let me. He said, you don't know when. He said, Satan is roaming like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. And the purpose of looking for whom he may devour, it was because of the Christian that have already received salvation. Hunting for them to capture them back to himself. That is why I believe in that.
That is, you should. So you can lose your salvation.
It is possible if you are not watchful and you don't pray. Okay. That is why he said, pray without ceasing.
What did you do before Christ went to the cross to die for you?
He said,
what did you do to become saved?
To become saved,
yes.
There are diverses of ways each everybody becomes saved. Yours own may be different, mine may be different. But in the same through Christ, we all are saved.
What is the meaning of grace?
Grace.
Grace.
Sir, grace. Grace is that since the grace is there for us.
I say, what is the meaning first?
The meaning of grace.
Yes.
Sir, I want to.
Okay, because of time. Grace means unmerited favor.
I understand you.
No, you don't. Listen, sir. You don't. No, we are. Me and you. We will talk, then they go understand us. See, grace means unmerited favor. There is a song we used to sing, I love him because he first loved me. He first loved me. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he, Christ, died on the cross of Calvary. So while you were already a sinner, he already loved you. So it was not because you were righteous, that's why he loved you. Correct?
That is true.
Okay, I'm coming. Sir, what's the name of your father? Your real father's name
is Noah.
Noah.
Our surname is Menoni.
Menoni.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Menoni is your surname.
Yes, sir.
Menoni. So every child of your father.
Yes, sir.
Bears Menoni.
Yes, sir.
Now that's what I want to confirm. Now, how did you, Peter, become part of that family? Menoni. How?
Is through my father.
How was it through your father?
Because he was the one that gave birth to me.
Praise God. That's very good. Your father gave birth to you.
Yes, sir.
From that day, you become his son.
Yes, sir.
You are his son because he gave birth to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, is there anything now you can do that you will no longer be his son?
There is nothing I can do in physically, and let's look at nature. There is nothing I can do, but
naturally speaking, is there anything you can do?
No.
That you will no longer be his son?
No.
Can he burn you 2 times?
No.
Can you ever cease to become his son?
No.
Assuming now, you go and become a, God forbid, armed robber, will you stop being his son?
No.
Now, I have not finished. No, it's important. If your father comes and says, Peter, from today, I disown you. You are no more my son. Will you from that day no longer be his son?
Sir, I will everly be his son because he was the one that gave birth to me.
Wow, that's right. Sir, you have answered it.
Sir,
now let me tell you also, sir, without controversy, you are a Christian because you are born again by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Do you understand? Just as the natural birth is, that is how the spiritual birth is. Once you have been born again, and you can only be born again once into the birth family of Christ, there is nothing you can ever do to stop him from being his child. Now listen. The reason is your father can never stop being your father because his blood is in you. His gene is in you. Whether he say it by mouth, not by mouth, it takes by you. There is nothing he can ever do to stop you from being his son. So also it is with Christ. But the difference which where many people get confused is that you can be a bad son. Hallelujah. I want to ask you another question. Anybody that is a father here, are you married?
No, sir.
If you were married, anybody, when you were growing up, did your father ever beat you?
Yes, sir.
Why was he beating you?
It's because of disobedience and stubbornness.
Thank you.
It.
The Bible says, whom God loves, he does what?
It is true.
Now, let me ask you again. When your father see another man's son misbehaving, does he bother with them?
Not much, but
okay.
Not much. It will bother him because he has
a son. Does he beat them?
He can never beat them.
Eh?
He can't beat them.
Because he does not have the relationship he has with you, with them. So it is with Christ. The unbelievers can live anyhow life they like. You will look at them. But once you are born again, your countenance behave before God. Another thing again is that your father will now decide to be unruly, to be a bad son. The benefit that you will have from him, you will lose it. Because he cannot be happy with you. At the same time, bless you. And so, if you decide to be disgracing him up and down, you are the one that will lose. Because he will try all the blessing. What he's supposed to give you, he will give it to the good ones. That is how God deals with his children. The same way our earthly fathers deal with us, it's the same way God, our heavenly father, spiritual father, deals with his children. Once you are his son, forever you are his son. But you can lose some benefits for refusing to be a good child of God. And the Bible says he can even kill you and call you back home. Can I ask you a question? Did Moses go to hell?
I can never say. I
now, if you cannot say, it means you don't know your Bible.
Sir.
Now, listen. Moses did not go to hell. Moses went to heaven.
Can you explain how you get to know?
How I know?
Yes.
You have your Bible. Open it to the book of Jude, verse 9.
Yet, Michael, the archangels, when contending with the devil as he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
Now, if you read that verse very well, we know that Moses died and we don't know where his grave is. Is that true? Now, from that scripture, when Moses died, Satan was coming to take the body because he felt that Moses disobeyed God. That was why. As Satan was coming to take the body, unknown to him, God sent his angel, Michael, to come and collect the body of Moses. He can't send, if God sent an angel to come, where will he take you to? Eh? Where will he take you to? So Moses did not go to hell.
Sir, I could, from this very chapter and the verse I read, he said they took him. They've not mentioned where they take him to. So I could not.
If a sinner, no, sorry. I mean, it simply means maybe you don't even know about salvation. If a sinner dies, what do you concern an angel of God with the body of a sinner? That's the property of Satan now. Satan will come and collect his body and go. So that an angel came for Moses' body lets you know that, and not just an ordinary angel, an archangel. That tells you that that was God's property. Open another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That story in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a born-again Christian descended to the level of going to his father's wife to sleep with his father's wife. What an abomination. And Apostle Paul had it. See his judgment that he passed concerning the man. From verse 4, read it.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
when you are gathered together, and my spirit...
That is Apostle Paul's judgment concerning that matter. Go ahead.
With the power of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
He said they should deliver such a person to Satan for what? Now I want to hear you. For what?
Destruction.
Eh?
Destruction.
Destruction of?
Of the flesh.
Of the flesh. Uh-huh.
That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus.
They don't catch that. Eh? He said, deliver him to Satan so that he will deal with him very well. Because every sin we Christians commit, we pay for it here. That his soul will be saved the day of judgment. So the man descended so low to that level. Now, you know, the doctrine of predestination, my brother Maker was asking, say, does he not encourage people to drink? Does he not encourage people to live anyhow life? The truth about it is this. You don't even know what a new birth is. Some people believe that they are saved when they are not saved. I hear people saying they backslid. They backslid. Backslid to where? Amen. Some people say, I was watching on the television, they were interviewing one of these musicians, and he was saying that he got saved. You know, he went, he got saved, then he came back again, he got saved second time, then he came back again, then he said, it was the fifth one that finally I stayed. And I was laughing as I was listening to him. You just imagine a human being, it's, I think it's Abiku. It's Abiku, that man must be a spiritual Abiku. It's Abiku that then they burn him, they die. Come back for the mama again. Then go burn her, he go die. He go come back again. Then finally, maybe he go call, then they go arrest her. What? You know, go back again. For those who believe on that. Eh? How can somebody be born? Then you die. Then burn you again. Then you die. Now the fifth time, now they burn you. That lets you know, he was never born again at all. Praise the Lord. Listen, church, for those who have ears to hear, listen. Listen. The Bible says that no man can come to Christ except the Father that sent him, Jesus Christ, draw you to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, and I ask, I say, every one of us today that is a Christian, we came to Christ not because we wanted to be Christians, but whatever means you use to come to Christ, it was God's own way of pushing you to Christ. So
Come, he uses frustration. Business failure, scatter, everything scatter. Some he uses sickness. Some of us he uses prison yard. Hallelujah. But the important thing there is that at the end he will lead you to Christ. Eh? Look, let me tell you something. I was trying to explain something. My brother was cutting me off. I said, the church is called the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. Just as the natural marriage is, that is how the spiritual marriage is. No woman sees a man and say, this man must marry me. I must be your wife. I must be your wife. Ah, brother, I must marry you. I will die for you. I will die for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At the worst, when you reach marriage age, your papa will go and look for a wife for you. Abraham did it for Isaac. When they sent Eliezer to bring Rebecca to Isaac, demonstrating the spiritual marriage that is going on now. So you, the same time, now you begin to think, so I am a Christian today because God, you know, sent me to Christ. That is the meaning of call. He drew me to Christ. That is the meaning of call. Now the question is, why did he call me and he did not call my unbelieving brother that died as an unbeliever? He died as an unbeliever because God didn't call him to Christ. Praise the Lord. So that is what the question is. And if you don't have the revelation, you will say it means God is partial. But he is not partial. Because if you read the Bible again, you will discover that there is a book of life from the foundation of the world. There are names that have been written in that book of life. Revelation chapter 17 verse 8. With names from the foundation of the earth, the world. All the people that will be saved. Before, hallelujah. Even before Christ came. Before Adam was created. Already there is a book of life with names that have been written there, and everyone whose name is there will certainly surely be saved. Praise God. So why did he write my name there? I did not write the name of my unbelieving brother there. Now the answer is in Romans chapter 8. That scripture says, verse 28, it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And where I am going is, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. There are people that he has called. When God calls you, he said, all things work together for good. Then, now, but who are those that he called? Verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, that verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow. What is foreknowledge there? There is something about you, a Christian, that he knew concerning you before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Before the foundation of the world. Church, before this world was formed, did God know
how many human beings will be on earth?
Did he know?
Are we together?
No, you have to understand. They say we are satanic. Listen very well.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Before Adam was formed, did God know that the serpent will tempt them and they will fall? Did it take God by surprise? Before, when God was creating the earth, did he know that one day he will create Adam and Eve? Yes. Even did he, God, know before, when he was just starting to create the earth, and this earth is millions of years old, I hope we know. Now, before he started creating this earth, did he know, sister, that today, you'll be sitting down here? Did he know? He knew. He's omniscient. Hallelujah. So he said, for whom he did foreknow. That means foreknowledge, knowing something in advance. What did he know in advance concerning me? What did he know in advance concerning my unbelieving brother that made him to choose me rather than my brother? There's something he knew in advance. He demonstrated in Romans chapter 9. In the womb of Rebecca, twins were in that womb. What are their names? Esau and Jacob. And Apostle Paul was using it to explain something to us. Inside that womb, two children were there before they were born. He, God, spoke. He said, Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. Amen. Esau, I hate. Jacob, I love. Why did he hate Esau? Two children have not been born. They are still in their mother's womb. He said, I hate one. I love one. Why? By foreknowledge. There was something he knew in advance concerning those two children before they were born. That the senior one, because of food, he will sell his birthright. It's not God that made him to sell the birthright, though. But God knew that he is going to sell his birthright. And that junior one, he has so much respect for birthright, he will do everything to grab it. Because of it, God hated Esau. In advance. So, in the book of life, before the foundation of the world, was Esau's name there? Was Esau's name there? Was Esau's name in the book of life? It can't be there. Because God knows in advance. Somebody that God say he hates before the burner. But was Jacob's name in the book of life? Yes. Why? For knowledge. Praise the Lord. Now, if you understand what I'm talking about, hallelujah. Now, we go back to the Garden of Eden. God, knowing that the serpent will tempt Adam and Eve, and they will fall, and Satan will take over the whole mankind. And there is a law. The soul that sinneth shall die. And God created hell for all the disobedient. It's not God that made them to be disobedient. They chose to be disobedient. Now, but God, through foreknowledge, knowing something in advance, he saw over 6 billion human beings on earth. They say we are over 6 billion now. But among these 6 billion human beings on earth, that is evil, hallelujah, before he created Adam and Eve, he knew this will happen. He saw 6 billion people,
But among these 6 billion people, he saw two groups of people. All these 6 billion people have been condemned to death. They have been condemned to go to hell. And they are all marching to hell, just waiting for the appointed time for hellfire to consume everybody. But the merciful God that he is, he saw among these two groups of people that are going, there is a group that no matter how he, God, comes down, Isaiah 53 says, who shall believe our report? He said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord revealed is the arm of mercy that he stretched forth through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the arm of mercy of God to the whole world. Whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. He saw that if he revealed himself and revealed salvation to a group, they will never believe. But there is another group of these Adamic children that if he just revealed himself in any way, they will surrender and follow him and serve him. Through foreknowledge, he saw this group of people. And he then decided, no, since if I give these people opportunity, they will believe. Who are those that will believe? He looked at those 6 billion people. Then he took a book and wrote their names. This one will believe. I know he's a very stubborn person. But when I send and go to prison, he go humble there. He go believe. This one, too proud because she thinks she's beautiful. But if I delay her marriage and present myself to her, she will believe. This one, he get money, he not going to believe. But if I remove all his business, then reveal myself in his frustration, he will believe. This one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One by one, he was writing their names, one by one, in the book of life before the foundation of the world. He put the name there. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8 says Christ, hallelujah, and 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 also mentioned the same thing. When was Christ slain? Before the foundation of the world. The Bible said Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. Where was Christ slain? He was slain in the mind of God. Then you understand John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Praise the Lord. Now, that word there is actually logos, meaning thought. The Greek interpretation is thought. Verse chapter John chapter 1, it should actually read, in the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. And the thought was God. And that thought became flesh in the womb of Mary. Hallelujah. What thought? Because the law says, the natural law of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another law, the law of redemption, speaks about the kinsman redeemer. To redeem something, it means that thing was originally yours, but you lost it. You want to have it back to yourself. That's the meaning of redemption. To redeem. But the law of redemption, like we see in the book of Ruth, that was why Boaz had to be the one to redeem Ruth. Praise the Lord. Is that before you can redeem someone, you must be next of kin to him. Hebrew chapter 1. Hebrew chapter 2. If you are there, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Who is he referring to? Is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Man fell. Man must redeem man. But no human being on earth was qualified to redeem, because another law of redemption is that before you can redeem someone, you yourself, you must be free too. You can't be in bondage and you want to redeem somebody in bondage. And you know, Christ was free from the law of sin. In him was found no sin. Praise the Lord. So the thing that make us to be condemned to go to hell was not found in him, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore, he qualified to be the redeemer. Amen. So, in the thought, in the beginning, God already conceived how he will save this group of people. He will bring this innocent blood. He will bring him, and then he will come and suffer all that he suffered, and all the curses and everything. He will nail them to the cross and suffer that shameful death, and in a nutshell, pay the price for redemption. He paid the debts we owed that we could not pay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All that thought was in the mind of God from the beginning. That is why, as far as God was concerned, in his plan, Christ was already crucified. From the beginning of the world, in his mind, in the beginning was the thought. The thought was with God. It was the thought of how the system that he will use. Praise the Lord. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. He says, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Wisdom that he used. He said, if the princes of this world had known, he said, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we thank God that they didn't know. It was hidden from them. The power that God used to bring us back to himself. Now, those groups of people, hallelujah, that have their names written in the book of life, one by one, in the fullness of time, they will come in. They will come in. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that no man can come to Christ except the Father who sent him draw him. Now, do you think God will call somebody that will disappoint him tomorrow? Do you think God will call somebody that will disappoint him tomorrow? Is he doing gamble? Is he a human being? So which one is that he will save you today, then tomorrow you will lose your salvation, then you will regret? Peter, if I had known Peter, I would not save this Peter. See the way he has disgraced me. Kai, he is God. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, for whom he did foreknow, foreknowledge. I hope you understand foreknowledge now. I hope you understand foreknowledge. Praise the Lord. For whom he did foreknow, then he said he did predestinate. That is, through that foreknowledge, he determined your end before you began. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. That we, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord.